The Aberi speak to the assembly of Jewish people. Melamed shenemra parsha zu behakel b'nei shreiv gufi Torah tulin ba. This parsha was said in an assembly. Everyone come to the auditorium. Everyone find your seat. Behave yourself. Because this parsha is very powerful hakdama to this parsha. This parsha harbe sheroiv gufi Torah tulin ba. Isn't that an amazing Rashi? That the majority of the gufe soira, I don't even know what that word means. What is what guf? The body? What does that word mean in reference to the Torah? The Torah has a body, has hands and fingers. The majority of the gufe Torah, the essence of the Torah, depend upon what is going to be taught in this section. And therefore, it's not sufficient just to send out a text, an email. Everyone has to show up in the flesh, in an assembly. You know what you learn from this Rashi? You learn over here that Eina Doimeh, having like a shir, where everyone comes together, Kineged having, you know, you just send out an email. You send out a message, you send out a notice. Eina Doimeh is something that's done behakel, adas, an assembly. Okay, Kidoishim to you. Hey, you heavy Purushim in Arayos and Avera. Sanctity means to separate yourself from Arayos, Umin Avera. What is the difference between Arayos and Avera? I do not know. Any place where you find a geder of an erva, a separation of males and females, that is where you find kedusha. For example, isha zayin v'chalal lo yikachu. It says by a zayin, stay away from a zayina. Ani Hashem mikadishchem. V'lo yichalu zaroi. Don't be machal a person, not marry a woman that is not supposed to, and have children that are not mamzerim. A kohen marries a grusha, a cholol. Ani Hashem Mikadeshoi. Kidoishim Yihyu. The next part, the first halacha is going to be Ish. Right away we're going to have very soon the halacha of Isha Zoyna Vachalola. Okay. So therefore when it says Kidoishim, we're referring to over the parasha of Arayos. That is Rashi's Hakdama. Let's see what it says in the Targum. Targum on this pasuk. Here we go. Targum, oops, I lost it over here. One second. I never actually had it. What happened over here? Here go more. Targumim, Rashi, Unklis. Targum. Malel, speak. Im call it Kinishta. The Adas is called the assembly. Divnei Yishol v'semar lehon kadishin tehoin yishol be holy. Arei, because kadish ano. I am holy. Hashem elo kochoin. Next pasuk, Ish imo v'yavuti rov yeshav zesai tishmaru ani Hashem elokeichem. Man, each man shall fear his mother and his father. Mother comes first. And you shall observe my Shabbosois. Shabbosai. My Shabbosois. Okay, how do you say Shabbos in plural? Shabbosois. Not Shabbosim. Okay, you find very often they say Shabbosim. Okay, it's not necessarily wrong. It could very well be that Shabbosim is Yiddish. It could be, maybe yeah, maybe no. I don't know for sure. You have to be ma'ayin if that's true. Shabbosim may be the Yiddish version of multiple days of 7 days of the week. But the correct Hebrew form is Shabbosois. If your rabbi says Shabbosois, that means the rabbi, he knows grammar, or he made a mistake once and someone corrected him. So he says Shabbosois. And here Hashem is referring to himself, Shabbosai. My Shabbosois. You shall guard. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now that is very interesting that we're calling over here, you see this very interesting, because ordinarily throughout the Torah, when we refer to Shabbos, you don't say Shabbosi. Hashem does not refer to Shabbos as his Shabbos. Hashem created Shabbos, and Hashem said to us, observe your Shabbos, or observe the Shabbos. This is a very unique pasuk, because here Hashem is taking possession of the Shabbos, and Hashem is saying, it's my Shabbos, and the plural, it's Shabbosai, it's my Shabbosois, and I'm demanding of you that you shall observe them, you shall guard. Tish Moiru, Rashi here, this pasuk says, let's see Rashi in this pasuk. Ish imo. First, we begin with Ish imo v'yavuv tirahu. Kol Echod Mikem Tidu Aviv Imo. Each one shall fear his mother and his father. His mother and his father. That's why it says when Ish. Ish is each one of you. Zeh pshuto u'midrashay ein li'al ish. Isha minayin. How do you know a woman? A woman is obligated to fear parents. Kishu aymer tira'u b'lushan rabim. All of you. Harei kan shnayim. In kein laman emar ish. Why didn't they say the male, not the female? Sho ish sipeik. Sipeik b'yodo la'asayis aval isha rishus achein molech. It's an incredible chiddush. A woman does not have the same opportunity to fear her parents. Why not? She has other obligations. Who are her, to whom, to who does she have the other obligations? I didn't really say that. It says, Rishus Acheid Molech. What does that mean? I don't know what that means exactly. She has a husband. Okay, she has a husband and she has children. It says the word Rishus. What does it mean here, the word Rishus? So typically it means that she has obligations to her husband. Her husband comes first. And there's a conflict. And the Musar Haskell is in life, there are always conflicts you have to prioritize. And the Torah seems to demand that a woman should give priority to her husband over her parents. That's a little bit shocking for us to understand, to accept that. Why wouldn't you say that the priority goes to her parents? And the husband has to understand that and give his wife space to go and help her parents and to ignore his needs. The fact that it says the word ish and not isha, the Torah is indirectly teaching an incredible chiddush, especially in the modern world, that a woman's first priority is her husband, even more than her parents. Now, isn't that a little bit shocking? Many people have a very hard time swallowing that. Ish imo v'yavti rochu kanikdim of le. Now, next question. Why, when it comes to fear, does the mother come first? When it comes to honor, the father comes first. What's the difference? Kanikdim aim la'af. Lefisha golui lefanav sha'ben yodi es aviv yosem mi'imai. Uvikovoi hikdim av la'aim. Lefi shagolui lefanav shrivil sha'ben mechabed es imo yoyser me'aviv. V'mei shemesha daltoi bedvarim. Okay, there's an enormous amount of commentary to be said on this Rashi. Rashi says that when it comes to a father, when it comes to a father, there is a natural tendency. It's part of the human condition for a child to automatically have fear for his father more than his mother. In order to counterbalance a person's natural disposition, his tendency, the Torah says, puts the mother first. The Torah here is revealing Khan. It is revealed Hashem is the ultimate psychologist. He is yored la'oimkoi shel davar, the human condition. The human condition is such that a child naturally fears the father more than the mother. Thus, the Torah has to compensate and has to put the mother before the father to upgrade the fear that the child has for their mother. However, with regard to honor, it is the human condition that a child gives more honor to his mother than the father. So the Torah has to compensate and has to put the father first. Now here's a very big chiddush in Rashi. Rashi, when it comes to why is it so that a child has a natural disposition to fear his father more than the mother, Rashi is silent. He doesn't tell us why that is so. So you would expect when it comes to a mother, Rashi, when it comes to honor, Rashi would follow in that pattern, would be so, would not tell us why a person, a human being, has a natural predisposition to give honor to a mother more than a father. But yet, Rashi actually tells us why a child has a natural tendency to give honor to the mother, because she speaks to him with words. Shemesh shadaltoi bidvarim. What does that word mean? I don't have a precise translation. Maybe I'm in the article there. She appeases him, she speaks sweetly to him, she sways him, she guides him. I don't really know what the word means. Shemesh shadaltoi. We really need a very precise Sorry?
She treats him softly.
Softly. That's a very interesting...
Father is usually the disciplinarian.
So where did you get that word? Shemesh Adaltai. It says that in the art scroll?
No, I'm telling you what the logic is.
Okay,
father
right.
Father is usually a disciplinarian.
I agree with you. I know, but that's what we on our own we would say. Yet Rashi selected a word. Rashi has at his disposal unlimited number of words, ideas, and concepts. Rashi selected a word. Maybe it was not Rashi. Maybe he took this from a Medrash. Goes back before Rashi. But there's a word here. And the word has a meaning. And we can say whatever we want to say. We can, you know, we can go write a PhD thesis on our the way we relate, a way we relate to our parents. But yet, very often, more often than not, Chazal surprise us, and they say something that, at first glance, we would not have said. So this is a very big project for a person to go and uncover the precise meaning of this word. Mr. Rapport said,
I learned Chazal understood human nature. I'll give you an example. When I learned Gittin, the idea was that the woman's husband is lost, they don't know where he is. The mother-in-law and the sister-in-law cannot testify that he's dead. Why? Because they know psychologically that the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law hate the wife, and they're afraid that she's spending all their son's money.
Right.
So they'd rather that he be declared dead, and therefore she won't get any of the inheritance and go back to him. That's a psychological insight.
Exactly, 100%. 100%. But over here, I agree with you. All right, but over here, there the Gemara actually spells it out. Here, what does this word mean? I know, we think we know what it means.
In art scroll, it says, she wins him over with pleasant words, not just bedvarim. If you read bedvarim, it means words. What do you mean, what kind of words?
Pleasant. So that's all included in the word Shemishadalto. Art Scroll spent, I have no doubt, Art Scroll struggled. Whoever did that translation sweated. He didn't just translate the words in it without thinking. Whoever did this translation in Art Scroll, he went and he kvetched. He kvetched until he put those words on paper. She wins him over. Yes, you have to go to the Gemara. Yeah, if you have to go to the Gemara. So yeah, so who said we have to know what the Gemara means? You have to go and study all the Mefarshim and see what Chazal selected a very unique word. And this word, it's not an easy word to translate into English, because we don't even know what it really means in Hebrew. And whatever it means, so therefore there's no doubt that they exerted themselves a lot to put on paper that his mother wins him over with pleasant words. That's a very interesting translation. I don't think Meir would translate it that way.
Well, the classic example to me always was Rivka and Yaakov.
Yeah.
Convincing him to go in.
V'ata b'ni shma b'koli. Olai k'dalascha b'ni. Isn't that the ultimate? That is that those words stand out of the Torah in an unbelievable way. What a mother will do for a child. Olai Kilalas Chabani. Mayor once told me a story. He told me a story that a boy comes to his mother and says, "Ma, I want to marry this girl." No, all the way around. The boy proposes to a girl. You told this to me, Mayor, once. A boy proposes to a girl, "I want to marry you." So the girl says, "I'll marry you, but there's a problem. I hate your mother. I hate her. I cannot marry you knowing I'm getting such a mother-in-law. I'll only marry you on one tonight. You go home right now, and you cut out your mother's heart, and you bring it to me." In other words, you murder your mother, and bring me your mother's heart. So the boy goes, he goes home, and he tells, "Ma, I met a girl, I'm crazy about her, I want to marry her. She told me only on one tonight, if I kill you and I bring her your heart. Ma, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm going to do it. I can't control myself, I got to marry her, I'm going to do it." He takes out the knife, he kills his mother, he pulls out her heart, but he's still breathing, and the mother says, "My son, be careful. Don't, when you go back, don't run, don't trip. Walk back slowly. Don't hurt yourself when you run back. Don't trip. So it's a great story. It's a really great story of how far a mother would go for a child. And that's rooted in exactly, Mr. Rapport, what you said, Olai kilalascha b'ni. Isn't that an amazing? Isn't that story really what Rivka said to Yaakov? Olai kilalascha b'ni. If your father curses you, I'll take it. I'll take the curse. You'll be safe. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you're able just to transfer a curse from me. I don't know how that works. Whatever it means. But that's what she said. Okay, that's an amazing insight. So here, these words over here are very powerful. What is going to be in the Targum? But again, remember to keep this in mind. The Targum, the Rashi over here is doing something very bizarre. He's giving you a word which you don't even know what it means to tell you why it is the human tendency for a child, for a boy, to give honor to his mother more than his father. But when it comes to fear, Rashi is silent. He doesn't tell us why it's natural for a boy to fear his father more than the mother. We can sit and we can darshan the whole day why that is true. But the same way we can darshan the whole day why it's true, we can darshan the whole day why it's true for a son to give more cover to his mother than his father. So either say nothing and we'll figure it out on our own. And if you want to go and put down on paper words, very precise words, shemishadalto bidvarim, so do us the favor and give us the exact words why a son fears his father more than his mother. And yet, Rashi says, I'm not telling you that. Too bad for you. You have to go figure that out on your own. Okay, next Rashi. V'yashab soisai tishmaru. What is the connection between the word Shabbos and Yiras, fearing a parent? Samach, Shabbos, Lemoiroaf. We juxtaposed fear of observing Shabbos to fearing a parent. Loimar, Af alpi shehis harticha al Moiroaf. Even though I warned you that you must fear your parents. Im yoim alocha, chaleles haShabbos. Al tishmalai. Don't, that you're not allowed to go do. The chayim b'shor kol mitzvahs, and this is going to serve as a binyanav l'chol ha-terekula. If a parent tells you to do an avera, the pasuk of it says v'esh shabsoi saitish, where I come first. Hashem says, I still come first. Ani Hashem lokeichem, what does this mean? Ata v'vicha chayav d'chvoidi. You and your father are obligated in my honor. Now what's very interesting, if you look at this Rashi, it jumps out at you like unbelievable. B'chvoidi? We're not talking about honor. We're talking about fear. Mr. Rappaport, if you were writing this Rashi, there's no doubt in my mind you would write, Atov yavicha chayavim b'moy ro'i. This pasuk is discussing ish imo v'yaviv tirohu. And Rashi already went out of his way to say over here, we're dealing with yira. And there in the Aseres HaDibros, we're dealing with Kovite. So we're dealing here with Yira. So now, Rashi goes, what's the juxtaposition of Ish? If your father tells you, Mechalel Shabbos, don't listen to him. I come first. Why? Because Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You and your father are chayiv in fearing me. I come first. Oh, your father also has to fear me. Therefore, he has no right to tell you to do something against my will. If that's the case, would it not be correct for Rashi to write, Ata v'yavicha chayavim b'moy ro'i? Why then does it say b'chvoidi? Haloi dovar. I don't have an answer. Okay, Mr. Rapport, is a good question?
Yes.
Okay, I don't have an answer. Lefichach loy sishma loy levata les devari, to cancel my words. Now, Rashi goes on to explain this is a very fundamental principle. What is the difference between kavod and yira? So here we go. This you have to memorize. Three things. Fear means don't sit in his place. Do not speak. Yidaber, do not speak. When someone wants to speak to your father, don't say I don't. I guess you have to really define what this means, but don't you should not speak in his presence. when it is expected for your father to give the answer, you should not give the answer. And this is the most important thing, don't contradict him. Don't contradict him. If this is what he says, that's the end. Don't contradict him. That's called fear. What is called kavod? Bezeh kavod, machil mashker, to give him to eat, give him to drink, malbish, dress him, umanil, put on shoes, machnis umotzi, bringing him to, and take out. By the way, who pays for it? Who pays for the food and the drink and the clothing? The father. The father pays for the clothing, but the father still needs someone to dress him. The father pays for the food, but he needs someone to feed him. A child, may ikar adin is not obligated to pay for the food and the clothing and to be machnes umotzi, whatever that means, it will cost money. The father has to pay, but the child has the obligation to do these things. And that is called kavod. Okay, what about standing up for him? What about standing? When the father walks in the room, you have to stand up. Rash doesn't say that here. Rash doesn't mention that. Okay, this is a very, very powerful. These are very famous Rashis, beginning of the parasha. Now, what does the Targum say? Gvar means a man. Min ime, from his mother. Umin avuhi, tohoin, from them. Do chalin, you shall fear. Vios and yoimesh shabayo, the days. Now this is a very interesting targum. That's why we're learning this. Yoimei. We would never add this word into the targum. Ish v'esh shabsoisai, the days of Shabbos. Yoimei shabayo dili, the days of my Shabbosois. Why doesn't the Targum just say Vios Shabayo Dili, my Shabbosois? What's the word Yoimei? The days. We'll have to see Titrun. You shall guard. Ano Hashem Elo Kohoin, I am Hashem your God. Okay. So before I say my boich svara, let me tell you what it says over here in the Ma'at Tzori, the commentator on the Targum. And right here, I got it open in front of me. He says as follows. The Yoimei. Why are we eating here the word Yoimei? V'yos Yoimei. Ish. Give me one second. Yoimei. Hoisif milazu. Ungulus air the word. Alosh nakasuf on the pasim. Helikamon uva mikra atzma motsanu kamapam hoisif amil yom. Zohar es yoima shabbos. Alkemer hashem es yoima shabbos. Venera. Shakavon boy samazuhi lahadish shabsoi sai. Hakavona yimei hashavua. Hanikroim Shabbosois, the Einakavana Shavisois Avoida, Hayacholu Lichlol Gam Hashemitois. Okay, so he says over here a very novel answer. Who says this? Avraham Nun. I have no idea. It sounds like this Machaber, he's saying his own Pshat. He's saying Shabbosoisai may be misled to mean Shemitah. We're not dealing with Shabbos Kodesh. V'hoysa Shabbos Ha'aretz. Maybe when it says, Ish v'yesh Shabbosai tishmoiru, you shall guard the Shemitah year. The Shemitah years, the Shabbosai, my Shabbosois, referring to every seventh year. Don't plow, don't seed, do not engage in business with the pairs of shvis that grow by themselves. Maybe that's what it means. In order to reject that interpretation, in order to prevent one from making such a mistake, the Targum, which is basically Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's prophecy, he adds the word Yoimei. You'd never refer to a year of Shemitah as a day. You don't do that. By adding the word Yomei, he is clarifying that we are referring to the seventh day of the week and not the year of Shemitah. Okay, that's an incredible insight you learn over here. uncle is over here, he's saying over here, because, you know, we read the psukim, you know, we're just brainwashed. From, you know, of course, we have Shabbos, Esai, Tishmeru. This is a very difficult word. Because, again, we don't refer to Shabbos in the plural. Shabbos is always yes, Shabbos. We don't have this. Shabbos is, for example, you know, there's a very basic principle, is that it's the same Shabbos. When we come back, when we observe two Shabbosos, it's not two Shabbosos, it's circular. We go through time in a circle. Time is a cycle. It's not every Shabbos is a brand new Shabbos. We go in circles. And when we come to day seven, we're just returning to that one day called Shabbos. That's all it is. So if that is really true, you wouldn't call it, you would never refer to Shabbos in the plural. When we go through time, although in our minds it's linear, but it's not really. It's in cycles. And even in science, okay, I don't obviously I don't know anything about this, but I vaguely have this recall in my brain that Einstein and scientists, they actually have a real theory about this principle, is that time is not linear, even scientifically. That there is such a principle that time is not linear. It is, how do you say it in English? Cyclical. Cyclical. You return, you go in cycles. How, you know, Einstein was the master of measuring time. Theory of relativity. Time is time. Time bends. There's so much. I mean, I don't know anything about this, but there are people that have devoted their lives to this, as you know.
And were the laws of Shemitah already given before Kedoshim? I thought it's the laws of Shemitah, the whole thing started in
Parash Bahar. Okay, but maybe, I don't know the answer. I don't know. Everything was given.
Rabbi, were the laws of Shemitah already given somewhere?
Everything was given by Matan Torah. It was just a matter of clarification, elaborating upon it. All right, it's a very fascinating idea. We have to, at least we learned this principle over here. A very fascinating principle. We have here the word Shabbosai. Shabbosai is very unusual to refer to the Shabbos as multiple Shabbosais, because generally it's referred in the singular, as we explained, because in the spiritual world we are certainly going through cycles. Why then is it referred to it as in the plural? Number two, why suddenly are we referring to the Shabbos as Hashem's Shabbos? And it has to be that the word Yomei that the Targum is injecting, that does not appear in the Pasuk, is coming to answer this question. This Sefer that I'm quoting from is not addressing the first two issues, but he does open up another interesting insight in his idea. His reason is because the word Shabbos could mean Shemitah, and that's not what it means here. Here it means Shabbos Kodesh. And the way you separate Shemitah from Shabbos Kodesh is Shabbos is only one day, and Shemitah is a year. So by putting the word Yoimei, Shabaya, you clarify that we're dealing with the Holy Shabbos. Now, he does allude to, in this commentator, he does allude to an idea that we spend a lot of time on this morning. Yom Tov is also called Shabbos. Mimocharas HaShabbos, the Omer. Right now we're in the middle of counting the Omer. And the Omer begins Mimocharas HaShabbos. And the Tzoikim, they did not want to accept that the word Shabbos means Pesach. They wanted to say that the word Shabbos means Shabbos Bereshis. And we had a whole shiur today proving that the different reasons why that cannot possibly be correct. When it says the word Shabbos, it's referring to Pesach. Uvayoyim HaRishoin Shabbosoin. Uvayoyim HaShevi'i Shabbosoin. So we can perhaps suggest that when it says over here the word Yoimei Shabaya, we're referring to different days. There is Shabbos Kodesh, it's one day. But then there's also Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, it doesn't just mean Shabbos. If it meant only Shabbos, it would say Shabbos. It meant days of rest. Days of rest include all the days of rest. Ish imo v'aviv tirohu, v'esh shabsoy sai, the multiple days of rest that I have commanded you to observe. And that includes the Shabbos Kodesh, and that includes Pesach, and includes Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. All of these yoimei shabaya, days when you don't engage in labor. If your father says, you know, make a parnasa, just because you have to go to work, no, you don't listen to your father. Okay, so that's another suggestion. Okay, everybody, so we're going to stop here. Thank you very much for coming. We have to stay tuned for the Psak Halacha about our Shaila, about this Bar Mitzvah boy. This is a real Halacha, real Shaila.
You're going to give her a tweet on Sunday or Matzah Shabbos?
Whenever you want. But one thing you have to know, it could be, I don't know, it could be that the boy is a very, you know every Shaila, you really can never generalize. It could very well be the boy is a genius. And the boy was, no big deal. I'll go lane Achrimos.
You might want to do both.
No, you can't do both. So it's interesting. A real rabbi has to know the boy before he makes this. You have to know the boy. You have to know the family. You have to know what's going on. Also, there's another factor here. I'm not allowed to say. There's another factor. There's a certain sensitivity in this Shiloh, which I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you everything. There's one detail I didn't tell you, which people here may argue that would be a game changer. And I'm assuming that the Rosh Yeshiva who said, I do not know, I assume that he fully, he's a lot smarter than me. He grasps the other issue, the other sensitive issue, which he may just brush off. Maybe he thinks it's not. He's the boss there. But he's consulting. And
you read the wrong parsha, you read it next week.
Right. I had a ma'isa shahaya. No, you don't read the next time. No, never. You never read the haftar. Never. You never make it up. Never. No such thing.
Right, so what's the big deal?
Exactly. Because there's no big deal. The only big deal is that l'chatchila, if this is what you're supposed to learn, you don't play games. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. Rav Hagin was the Gadol Hador. Rav Hagin decided that in this year, when last week we did not learn Parashas Achrimos, this week you learn Achrimos. He was the Gadol Hador. He was the undisputed Gadol Hador in America when he was alive. And this is what it says in his Luach, and it's a fact that probably 95% of all shuls in America follow his decision. This is a fact. I'm not making this up over here. So you want to go say, you know, we'll break the rules this week, we'll learn Parashas good, because I'll find you some obscure opinion that you've never heard of that says, you know, it's the big deal, you can learn Kedoshim, and anyway, the Sfardim do this and this, you can make up a whole chol that you want. If the halacha is the halacha, that's how it goes. That's one way you can say, this is the halacha. No games to play over here. Halacha is halacha. It didn't work out for you, there's nothing we can do for you. Or you can say, no, this is a bar mitzvah boy, he prepared, you want to make him feel good. If there's another opinion, it doesn't really matter. Okay, it's a very interesting shaila. I'll tell you an interesting story that I had once. I once went away, a ger. A person became a ger. And they made in his honor a celebration. A celebration, like basically it was like a bar mitzvah. And they invited all these people. Okay, it was a very interesting event. And they had it in a restaurant in Manhattan. It's a number of years ago. And they put me up some middle of nowhere. And they put me up somewhere for Shabbos and walk like a half an hour to get to basically to a room to this like this. I don't even know what it was. It wasn't a shul. And they printed up, they made photocopies of all the davening. I was actually the Baal Kriya, I leaned. And it was a very big celebration. They must have had there, I would say, close to 100 people celebrating about this person became a ger. And it was in the middle of Chumash Devarim. It was the end of the summer. Okay, we laid. And it was the middle of nowhere, this place. It was Shabbos. And they printed up, you know, photocopies of the davening. Maybe they had Siddurim. They could be the Siddurim. And we came to the Haftarah. You're not going to believe this. there wasn't one Chumash to be found. We did not have the printed version of the Chumash. Do you believe that? So the rabbi, the person who was officiating, he ran up and down, up and down. He checked out the whole place. And he finally found, you know what he found? The only thing he could find is a Yom Kippur Machzor. That was the only thing he could find. So I told him, if this is all you could find, you know what? We will read the Maftir for Yom Kippur. I'm not joking. That's the halacha. You don't have to dafka lane. You know, you're supposed to lane the certain haftarah. So we'll make a bracha and we'll lane the maftir for Yom Kippur. And that's what we did. I never really clarified if that was the wrong thing to do, but that's what we did. After one day find out from a very big posek if we did the right thing. Okay, that's what we did. And as we were laning, it really struck me that there could not be a better haftarah for this Ger Tzedek than the haftarah of Yom Kippur. Soilu soilu panu derech.
Shachris.
No, mincha is Yona. Shachris. Soilu soilu panu derech. Clear the road. Make for yourself a clear road. It's like describing a ger. And I really felt it was min hashamayim. It was min hashamayim. The shetaka not be a chumash. So in honor of this ger, we should lane for the ger what should be read for him. The message. Certainly the ger didn't have no clue what was going on. But one day, we'll make a whole drasha describing the whole story that happened over there, that really it was his day, and it was min hashamayim, that this is what we should lane for him. All right, everybody, so have a wonderful evening. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Zay gesund.
Good night.
Good night.